you and welcomes another edition of I'm Sorry, I'll Read It Again, which features Timbrook Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendler, Bill Oddie. Well, don't let's hang about. We've got 3.5 jokes to crack in 30 minutes. Here's the first 1.5, John Otto Cleese.
Oh, no, it's I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again, Mother. Again.
World's most formidable and desolate regions, where mile upon mile of sand is darkened only by the black ooze of oil.
The British beaches.
The Arabian Desert.
Oh!
It is 358 miles from Cairo to Tel Aviv, 275 miles from Tel Aviv to Tashkent, and 58 miles from London to Oxford, and 6'4" from John Cleese's head to his toes. But that doesn't make him a better person. And if Bill Oddie and Timbrook Taylor were laid end to end, I shouldn't be surprised. And tomorrow I will go to the doctor. Our team were based at Sidi Ben Turpin. It is the city of 1,000 delights and a population of 250,000. So there aren't enough to go around. We spend an evening at a nightclub watching exotic local dancers.
Attention, listeners. Here is a cold meat joke warning. A cold meat joke follows.
Look, the exotic dancers dressed only in slices of cold meat, and she's dropping them one by one.
Yes, yes, it's the dance of the seven veals. Danced by salami.
She's an old ham.
The city has been pretty out of touch for a long time, which is why their jokes are so old. We stayed only one night in the only hotel, typically primitive with hot and cold typhoid in all rooms. It is advertised bed and board. In fact, we slept on the board as the bed had run away the previous week. Next morning, we breakfasted on the rich local food, which kept us going for the rest of the day. Then on and on we trekked over the scorching desert till at last we came to an incredibly lonely spot.
Oh, I'm lonely.
Thank you, Spot.
The dog told us we were nearing civilization.
You're nearing civilization.
Soon we reached the oil rigger's camp at El Astik. It is an oilman's loneliest fate to be sent for a stretch in El Astik. We knew we had arrived when we caught sight of a gigantic Derek.
Hello, I'm Derek. I'm the foreman.
Tell me, exactly what is the setup here?
Well, we got 15 men working in shifts.
And very pretty they look. Isn't this a very lonely job?
No, I'm used to loneliness. I used to be a lighthouse keeper till one day I ran up the stairs too quickly and screwed myself into the roof.
Derek. There have been 15 men out here together for 15 months and no women at all. Doesn't this worry you?
Yes. 2 babies were born last week.
I know this is a British firm dedicated to exploiting underdeveloped countries, but you must come across the natives now and again. Do you, in fact, have any local relations?
No, not at first, but I have 3 daughters now.
No.
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, the local sheikh, Ahmed.
Ahmed?
Ahmed to the teeth, pops in to stare at the white man's magic oil machines, you understand. But we keep the peace with him by making some simple primitive bargain.
Like?
Like we give him 50,000 gilt-edged shares and he promises not to blow us up. Mm.
The foreman then showed me around the camp.
These are the men's dormitories. As you can see, the bunks are in tiers. And here's the games room. The men play table tennis and darts, and when they get bored, they play table tennis with darts.
Finally, the chief engineer explained some of the technicalities of oil drilling.
Of course, you know, when the oil comes out of the ground, it's pretty filthy. I've got some here in this tin. This is crude oil. But it goes through many processes until finally you get oil like this here in this tin, which is now refined.
Oh, I do beg your pardon.
And here's the drill machine itself. Switch it on and it starts drilling. Now, the men work 6 hours at a shift and usually finish their stint by singing the traditional oil song.
Yes.
Oil, me seeing you.
Yes. And
oil,
it's rather dangerous work.
Say that again. When the drill's going up and down and chains flying like this, you've got to keep 100% concentration. One tiny lapse and it could be absolutely fatal.
And so I prepare to leave the oil riggers of El Astik They work away here in hope day after day. But even as we left, we heard the sound of a strike. So here, 5,000 miles from England, British industry is functioning just as it does at home. Next week, as the second of our studies on lonely jobs, we meet the man with the loneliest job in the world. The Prime Minister's Public Relations Officer.
The doctor will see you now. Hello, doctor.
Ah, you've not been to see me for a long time.
Well, I've been ill.
I hope you're better now.
Oh, yes, I am, thank you.
Then get out and stop wasting my time.
You see, I'm very worried because I'm getting very fat.
Yes. Yes, look at that tummy. Looks as though it'd burst if I stuck a pin in it.
Oh!
Well, worth trying. Oh, it was worth trying. Now, can you see your feet?
No, I can't.
Well, you're lucky. One's on back to front.
I wondered why I was going round in circles.
You are fat, dear me. Look at this mirror. Gave you a shot, didn't it?
Yes.
Well, it's a distorting mirror. Connected from Battersea Funfair. Come on, then, get on the scales.
What?
It's a speak your weight machine, you know.
Why didn't you tell me my weight, then?
It's got laryngitis.
Oh.
Give me the card.
Here you are.
You'll never believe this.
What?
You are tall and slim and sexy. Be ready for romantic involvement. Right, take your clothes off.
What?
I want to examine you. What did you think I meant?
Well, you see, you said romantic involvement.
With
so
me?
No.
Well, why not? I'm extremely handsome. And I'm a doctor.
Oh.
Not like you, fatty.
Not fatty, I'm not.
Why are you here, then?
Well,
because you're fat.
No, I'm not.
You're grotesquely fat.
Oh, don't laugh.
Don't laugh. Oh, stomach up. Oh, wobbly drawers. I'm sorry. That was quite unforgivable. I do apologize. Now, where were we? Bunter.
Lose weight.
Oh, no, really? Well, would you like to lose 14 pounds of unsightly fat?
Yes, I would.
Okay, I'll cut your head off.
No!
Now, how have you been eating?
Well, I just put the food in my mouth and swallowed.
That's some sort of joke.
No, no.
Do you eat sweets?
No, no.
Good, I hate sharing. delicious. Now, pass me that little book.
Here you are.
This little booklet is going to be your diet. Eat 2 pages a day without butter, right?
Won't be enough.
Do you realize I've got to do something to stop you eating?
Yes, I do.
So I'm going to knock all your teeth out.
Oh!
There, that should help.
Is that all, Doctor?
No. Now, before you go, I'm going to give you a jab.
An injection?
No, just a jab.
Oh!
Did that hurt?
Yes.
That's sure. I don't go to karate classes for nothing. right. Well, then you just get rid of that pot, and in 2 weeks I want you to be too small for that nice suit. Then I can have it. Cheer up. You've lost 10 pounds already.
I haven't.
You haven't seen my bill yet. My rule. Monday at 4:30.
England is a land rich in folk tale and fable. The legends of Dick Whittington, Lady Godiva, Robin Hood, giants, Lady Godiva, wishing wells, Lady Godiva, goblins, and so on. And not, of course, forgetting Lady Godiva. The whole country is steeped in ancient romance, and it is hard to walk across an ordinary meadow without stepping into some little bit of history. So come back with us now to England in the Middle Ages, when all these ancient tales and legends actually happened. Inside the old Nag Inn near Coventry, the locals are relaxing after a hard day's work.
Morning, Sir Eglin.
Morning.
Morning, Derry. Oh, Derry.
Hello to the north.
Morning, Derry. And him.
60 long leagues he rolled.
Morning, Derry. Oh, Derry.
Then he fell off.
Evening, all.
Evening, Pharmacology. I've heard as how you've been having a spot of trouble with the goblins down at Long Mile Bottom.
Ah, it is true, Mistress Rosie. Them been a-curdling the milk and stopping the ends a-laying.
Arr, they do be troublesome, do goblins. But as we all country folk do say, if the sun doth rise upon St. Lammas Eve before the cows come home to milking, and sheep lie down too in the shade of an oak or blackthorn tree when the rowan be in blossom, pay no attention.
When you know, they do say as how the best way to get rid of goblins is by means of an old charm or spell dating back to the 7th century.
Well, how do it go?
Oh, a bit like this. Goblin be snuffed, goblin be puffed. Goblin, oh, goblin, why don't he get...
Hang on. Who's this are coming? Why, tis Tim, the peddler of Swapham.
In league with the fairies.
Shouldn't be a bit surprised.
Hello, good neighbours.
Hello, Tim the peddler.
My goodness, I'm exhausted. I've been peddling all over the shire today. Yes, I have. It's no fun being a peddler. I must have peddled 50 leagues today. And to cap it all, the handlebars fell off.
So why is that part of this strange machine humans are riding?
That's right.
Well, this is a weird contraption and no mistake. Two wheels, a saddle, two pedals driving a chain, a pair of handlebars, a little bell. Why, I've never seen the like of it, bearing in mind that we're in medieval England.
No, I've just invented it.
Oh, what do you call it?
It's a telephone.
Oh! Ah, I've heard of this from my cousin Simon.
But your cousin Simon? He's in Edinburgh.
I know, but he rang me up the bicycle.
Ah.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Tim, sir.
Oh, hello, Mistress Rosie. I'll have a mead and tonic, please. Oh, and drinks for everyone else on me. Money is no object.
Why, Mr. Tim, this is a change.
But hark, 'tis 12 o'clock, and 'tis Candlemas Eve.
Oh.
And they say that at this time, on this particular night, at this very spot, there do be the sound of strange music, and a weird figure do appear. Hark!
He's old Walter the butcher.
And I don't come much butcher than that.
Hey, yeah.
The news.
What news is that, Walter?
Oh, dear.
Terrible news, idiot. Terrible news.
What is it?
There, you forget.
Well, dang me.
Was the Dorset of Lord Leofric, the wicked baron, plot is planning to overthrow the rightful Earl of Coventry and steal his fish.
You mean he's going to take his place? But if Lord Leofric takes over, he'll put tax on everything and ruin us all.
We'll be done for.
And even as the news reaches the villagers, Lord Leofric the Light-Fingered sits in his gloomy castle, plotting and counting his money.
Ah,
country, but I shall succeed him. I only mention this to explain the scene which follows. My assistants, perchance the evil deed is done. Ah, there you are, gentlemen. Good
evening.
Precisely.
And have you?
By any chance?
Some.
News for you?
News?
Yes, we have
bad news.
Concerning
a certain nobleman.
Of Coventry. Coventry. Who has met with
a slight accident.
If you
take our
meaning.
Exactly.
Most
regrettable.
Unfortunate.
Precisely.
And that is all?
The news?
That is all the news.
Excellent.
And now, a look at the weather.
At last I am the Earl of Coventry. I shall squeeze every penny out of those miserable peasants.
My lord, what are you doing?
This is my beautiful wife, Lady Godiva, by way of explanation.
Leopold, I heard what you said through the keyhole.
Curtis, I knew I shouldn't have said it through the keyhole.
Leopold, you can't take all that money from the peasants.
Yes, I can. There is to be a new levy.
What's wrong with the old one?
There will be a new levy if I say so. I was just discussing it with my privy councillors.
It's inhuman. I forbid it. If you do not do what I ask, I shall ride through the streets of Coventry without my clothes. Now say that you're beaten. Well, say something. Don't just stand there. I can't bear it.
Oh, yes, you can.
The town crier announced Lady Godiva's promise.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good evening. It is hereby made public that Lady Godiva will this day ride through the streets of Coventry, absolutely, utterly in the streets of Coventry, absolutely without absolutely nude evening. But it is forbidden even for anyone to look at her as she rides past absolutely in the afternoon. Hello? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, all right.
In the old Naggin, the villagers discussed the news.
Well, all I can say is it's a brave thing Lady Godiva is doing. It's a brave and selfless act and no mistake. And if she don't get her way with Lord Leofric, I only hope she goes on doing it every day, twice on Saturday, three times on Sunday.
True, but what about the taxis?
No, you get a better view from the top of a bus. You mean that kind of taxis? Why, if I'm going to be able to pay them, I shall have to sell the old cow. And here she is.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is an important announcement. The old cow, and here she is the sort of remark which usually precedes the entrance of Lady Constance to Coverley. Unfortunately, this week she is unable to be with us. But we shall carry on without her nonetheless. And we hope that her absence will not too sadly be felt. Thank you.
If I don't get enough money for the old cow, well, I'll just have to sell the old pig.
Why, it is old Constance the Weird Witch of Widdicombe. We weren't expecting you.
You got here just in time. We're desperate.
Well, I'm no good.
As usual, we don't know what to do.
Oh, don't worry. As usual, I'll think of something.
And so the villagers told Constance the Witch of Lord Leofric's wickedness and Lady Godiva's plan to ride through the streets.
Oh, the poor girl. She cannot do that. No, we must stop her. No!
Oh, great.
Well, that shall need help.
And plastic surgery.
I'm a common assistant. Must have been the cottage pie.
handling the pixie.
You called, Mom?
Yes.
Oh, I've been frolicking in the woods, Mom, with a hi-ho dairy and a dingley dell, tickled me mushrooms and chased me round the fairy ring.
Shut up, Grimsley. You'll be my first witness again, haven't you? Well, your pictures are all the same, sex man. Give you half a chance and the girl does nothing. So I'm getting a free chance. Now I want you to help me change places with Lady Godiva.
Get me, Mom. Here we go.
He made a magic gesture, and in a flash, Constance the Witch vanished, and in her place stood Lady Godiva.
Oh, where am I? I was in the box.
Oh, it wasn't wrong that you were in the box.
Lady Godiva, why, you're all wet and shivering. You must be cold. Here, borrow my gloves. Only my gloves, I own.
And so next morning, Constance the Witch rode through the streets of Coventry, and according to the orders of Lord Leofric, nobody looked. Except, that is, for Peeping Tom, who peeped out through a hole in the shutters as she rode past. Alarmed by the noise, Lord Leofric popped his head out of a window.
What's happening?
Good afternoon, Lord Leofric.
Good afternoon. Wait a minute. You're not my wife. I've been duped.
Oh, you poor thing. I'm sure something can be done about it.
Bring me a horse.
A horse was brought, and Lord Leofric leapt from his fourth-story window straight into the saddle. Then away he rode after Constance. Madly he chased her through the streets of Coventry.
Come back!
You'll never catch me! You'll never catch me! Hurry up, or you'll never catch me!
He never did catch her. But even today, the villagers of Coventry say that on a cold winter's night, when the moon is full, you can still hear the sounds of that chase going on.
I never catch her!
That's your last. I'm sorry, I'll read it again. Draws to a close once more. You heard the voices of Timbrook Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendall, and Bilotti. The script was written by Graham Garden and Bilotti. The song was by Bilotti and played and arranged by Liam Cohen. We hope you spotted the two jokes, and here are two more surprise guest jokes. David Hatch and Peter Titheridge, the producers. Sorry, three surprise jokes. Enter now, one and a half, John Otto Cleese to say...
You're listening to Radio 740, CBC Toronto.